Shalom, everyone.
Hi, shalom.
Well, we are just doing a quick recording for you guys. Angela and I were in Jerusalem, as you all know, for the last handful of days. Yeah. And we had an amazing time. We got to see a lot. We got to do a lot. Very busy, very taxing and tiring, but it was worth every moment of it.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah, so we have Jerusalem on our minds.
Yeah, and our hearts.
And our hearts, yeah. And we were sitting here, and Anthony, to the side of us, he hung up like a poster of Jerusalem. And we were just sitting here after we had done all of our prepping for Shabbat and just taking care of everything and just kind of just sitting down and just looking around and just super grateful and thankful for everything that Yah has been doing and our family. And
we started talking about all the graves on the Mount of Olives. We were there and we saw them and got a little bit of video of them. And we were just discussing the tombstones and the graves, the lying, everything that's just at the base, going all the way up to even like halfway up to the summit on a portion of the Mount of Olives.
Right.
Up to 150,000 graves are there. And so we were talking about that.
I asked him a question, and then it led into this whole like Bible study. And then he was like, hey, let's just share what was on our hearts about this. And so here we are.
So quickly, it's just few minutes here. We're going to share some scriptures with you guys and say Shabbat Shalom. It's going to be Shabbat here very soon for us in Israel. So we wanted to make this quick and short and sweet, quick and easy. So 150,000 graves on the Mount of Olives. Why is that? Mm-hmm. What is the reasoning behind that? Well, when we go to Zechariah 14, we find out why. So traditionally, the Jews have believed the scriptures that say this right here. So Zechariah 14, starting in verse 4, this is describing the day of the Lord. So if you read the whole chapter, it's discussing the day of the Lord, when Yah returns, when he comes to proclaim his kingdom and his glory on all the earth. And so we'll just read verse 4, because this is the main reason why. It says, on that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. That lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall move northward and the other half southward. So that was Zechariah 14 and verse 4. And again, traditional Judaism believes that this, even though they don't accept the New Testament, the resurrection and the doctrine of the New Testament, they do believe in a resurrection, so to speak. And so they believe this is the initiation of the resurrection for them. When the Lord steps foot on the Mount of Olives, he is on the earth, he returns. And so thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Jews in antiquity have requested to be buried there on the Mount. So we have 150,000 graves on the Mount of Olives. And Angela asked a really question earlier. She asked, is that in the New Testament anywhere? Is that in the Brit Hadashah anywhere? Does the New Testament describe Yeshua coming down on the Mount of Olives? And technically, if we're speaking just by the text, by the scripture, he doesn't say those very words, I'm going to step down on the Mount of Olives, plainly. However, and that's kind of what led our Bible study, he does claim to be the one who will step down on the Mount of Olives. It's beautiful. There's so many different times where he claims to be Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Adonai, Yehovah. He claims to be the one, the cloud rider. This is huge. This is huge. And so for those that may have heard people say through different messianic sects or doctrines or whatever that Yeshua never claimed to be God, that's just false. Because he claimed to be God. You have the seven I am statements in John, but you have other places where he describes himself as what any Jew in the first century would have understood to be the one.
Right.
right? And so we're going to read through a couple of those for you guys, right? Matthew, where were we reading earlier? We were reading in Matthew 24.
Yeah.
We'll read, again, just a handful of verses here. Thank you, my love. And then we'll let you guys go here. So Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 29, and we'll just read, like I said, a few verses here,
right,
to verse 31.
Okay. So immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. If that doesn't sound like the Cloud Rider,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's beautiful. And just even this chapter before, you know, he's lamenting over Jerusalem, and then he's speaking with his disciples, and then he shares this on the Mount of Olives.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, this they call it the Mount of Olives Discourse, because these two chapters take place on, like Angela said, on the Mount of Olives, where you have him weeping over Yerushalayim on the Mount of Olives. You have him teaching his disciples these things, like who he was, who he is, and who he will be to come.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so powerful. It's so cool that he took them. Yeshua actually spent quite a bit of time on the Mount of Olives, and so he took them there to teach them these things, the place where he knew he's coming back to,
right?
And so that was like something that we were just talking about earlier. It was just like mind-boggling, like, wow, that's so beautiful. And yet, at the same time, so ironic, too, because, you know, here in Israel, it's not widely accepted, as you all know, that Yeshua is the Messiah. And so while they do believe in a Messiah that will return and will step down on the Mount of Olives, they don't believe that that's Yeshua. And so that's heart-wrenching for us,
right?
You know, and we're very passionate about this subject, this topic, this ministry, this field, I guess, if you will, if you want to call it that. It's a big reason why we're here in Israel right now. You know, it's not just for me to go to school, but it's also to be a light to the Jewish people. And already we've been able to talk to and befriend some people, and we have friends in the land, and we have people that we're getting to just kind of network with, and it's been a real blessing. And we want to ask you guys for prayers. Like, there's that whole Isaiah 62, 21 days of fasting and praying for Israel happening right now. Man, that just moved our hearts immensely. And we want to continue to ask, like, don't just let that be 21 days, guys, and then you stop praying for Israel. Please, please, please help us continue to pray for Israel. Continue to lament for her the way Messiah did.
Yeah.
The way he wept for Jerusalem. Because he said it in Matthew 23:37 that, you know, he longed to gather them.
Yeah.
He longed to gather them. The ones who killed the prophets and who stoned the messengers, he longed to gather them like a hen gathers her chicks. But they were not willing. And then he goes on to say, you will see me no more until you declare, Baruch Abba Hashem Adonai, Baruch, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so we long for that day. Right.
For eyes to be open.
Yes.
And ears to be able to receive and hear. And I pray that we can be that, you know, that we would use discernment and wisdom on what to say and how to say it, and be used by God however he wants to use us here in the land.
Amen. So. Well, yes. And again, keep it short. Next couple of verses, we want to get into this Cloud Rider idea, because it's big, it's huge. I mean, it's not something to be taken lightly. Yeshua's declaration here that we just read, and Angela just read, I mean, he said, you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. Yeah. Where is Yeshua getting that from? He's not saying that for no reason.
Right.
Every ancient Jew from the first century, even before that, would have known exactly what Yeshua was saying when he said those words. And so we'll read a few verses in the Tanakh. We'll read a verse from the Torah. And then we'll hop over to Matthew 25. And then we'll close with the verse in the Tanakh as well. So powerful, powerful stuff here, guys.
Yeah. From the beginning to the end.
Yes. Amen. So, amen.
Deuteronomy 33:26 says, there's no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to your help, and through the skies in his majesty.
Wow. And Jeshurun was just another name in ancient times for Jerusalem. Yes. So, guys, like, that's all the way in Torah. That's Deuteronomy 33 that she just read. I mean, he rides the heavens. He comes on the clouds to Jeshurun, to Yerushalayim. Like, wow, you know? So, I just love these scriptures.
There's so much.
Yeah.
There's so much. Isaiah 19:1. It says, the oracle concerning Egypt. Behold, the Lord is riding on a swift cloud and is about to come to Egypt. The idols of Egypt will tremble at his presence, and the heart of the Egyptians will melt within them.
Wow.
Riding on the clouds.
Yep. Right? Again, the day of the Lord language here, guys. Yep. Like, wow. Psalm 68:33.
To him who rides upon the highest heavens, which are from ancient times, behold, he speaks forth with his voice, a mighty voice. There he goes, riding on the clouds again. Psalm 104:3. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind.
Wow.
Wow. Amen.
Yeah, let's hop over to Matthew 20, actually 26. I think I said 25, but we'll just go to Matthew 26. And so, you know, again, Yeshua is declaring who he is. He said it to his disciples in Matthew 24. And it wasn't until he said these words that the high priest Caiaphas tore his clothes and said, this is enough. We don't need anything else. Crucify him, right? Mm-hmm. So he said to Caiaphas in Matthew 26, and I'll read verse 64. He said, Yeshua, Caiaphas keeps asking him, right? Like, who are you? Tell me plainly. Are you the Messiah or not? Tell me plainly. And Yeshua finally responds and says, Yeshua said to him, you have said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Verse 65, then the high priest tore his robes and said, he has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? So Yeshua said it in the face of the one whom he knew would call for his death. In the face of the opposition, Yeshua declared, I am the cloud rider. I am Adonai Yehovah. That is who I am. That is who I'm declaring to be. I am that I am.
Yeah.
And Caiaphas immediately knew what he was referring to, right? He immediately would have called to mind the verses in Deuteronomy, the verses in Psalm, and the verses in Daniel 7 that we'll close with. And he tore his clothes and said, what more do we need? This man is blasphemous. And it's just powerful. And just another little tidbit here, guys. In the Tanakh, we have Yehovah being the cloud rider. We have him riding the clouds. That's actually not a foreign concept to ancient Mesopotamia. You have the same things happening in the Ugaritic texts. You have the same things happening in other ancient Mesopotamian religions where you have like Baal and other deities referred to as cloud riders. And the more that I study the ancient Near East, the more I see Yehovah at war with the gods of the nations. And the purpose behind some of the language that the Old Testament writers used, not to borrow from other texts, but to directly contrast them,
right.
To directly
right.
make a statement and call them out and say, no, 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 Yehovah is the cloud rider.
Right.
He is the one who has authority over the heavens, over the earth, over everything above, over everything below, and over everything in between. And so it's exciting because you have all this teaching and theology out there, and then you have Yeshua capitalizing on it. Like, this is actually me. I am he. And so we wanted to share that with you guys as we were, again, just discussing earlier. And getting ready to enter into Shabbat and eat some challah and just fellowship with our family. We wanted to share that with y'all. And, you know, we were discussing Mount of Olives earlier, and, you know, it's going to be an amazing sight to see.
Yeah, it would be awesome to eventually do a teaching from there.
But yeah.
We will, God willing. But so all of this, right, goes back to Daniel 9. Mm. And love the scriptures, love this word. And so Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14 says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days, yep. and was presented before him,
yeah.
and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion,
yeah.
which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed.
Amen.
Wow. So, like, what does it say? With the clouds of heaven, yeah. there came one like the Son of Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Messiah.
Yeah. and that's where Yeshua was quoting from,
yeah.
in the face of Caiaphas.
Yeah.
And that's where he was teaching from to his disciples. And again, it's ironic and heart-wrenching, but we also know it's for a purpose, right? Like, you should, like the scriptures yes. talk about scales being over the eyes of Israel in Romans 11 until the time of the fullness of the Gentiles, right? So it's purposeful. The fullness of the Gentiles being that the gospel of who Yeshua is would reach right. all the four corners of the earth before it returned back to Jerusalem,
yeah.
and all of Israel will be saved, is what Paul says in Romans 11. So we are longing for that. We are praying for that. I know many of you are praying for that. You're fasting for that, and praise Yah, that is awesome.
Okay.
Do not lose that burden in your heart. As Isaiah says, I will not keep silent. I will not be still until you, Lord, make Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. You have sworn it by your name. And again, that's our heart, you know, and we just want to share some of that with y'all. And keep us in prayer. Keep the people of Israel in prayer. I'm sure you guys are seeing all the news and all the events that are happening right now. Don't fret. Don't worry. We all know it's in Yah's hands. Just pray for more souls to come to Yeshua. Pray for more scales to be
yes.
Removed from the eyes of Yah's people. And pray for those who are persecuted for Yeshua, because it's coming. It's coming everywhere.
Yeah.
And so may we take heart, may we be bold, and may we follow the example of Yeshua, speaking who he is, even to the face of the one who was about to put him
Amen.
To death.
Yeah.
Or so he thought. He thought he was putting Yeshua to death, right? But
right.
Yeshua said, no, I'm letting you. I'm laying my life down.
Mm-hmm.
So we love you guys. Right? Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. I love you guys.